with us today. A lot happening over here that we wanted to dive into. I just learned, and I wanted to make sure we saw this. Let me pull it up right now. I got an alert in regards to, remember that that monster, the Afghan national who shot those two, allegedly, I have to say, because he's just pleaded not guilty, but the individual who shot those two National Guardsmen, allegedly, he has just appeared in court and pleaded not guilty to the charges he's currently facing. Now, many of you guys know he was captured at the scene, so this is going to be a tough one for him to argue, but he is facing the death penalty because he did murder one of those guardsmen. So the prosecutors are seeking the death penalty against him for that. And obviously the other one, Andrew Wolf, is he survived, but obviously his injuries were very, very critical. And I still have not seen an update on his status, though, as to what he's enduring right now. I'm sure, given the fact that he was shot in the head, he's got a lot going on over there. And it's absolutely heartbreaking, of course. The death penalty, of course, is appropriate. Sure, we've got it all on camera, so it's a matter of what we'll see for his criminal trial. But as of right now, he has just entered a not guilty plea. And so we'll continue to see as it all unravels. Of course, he probably try to get the death penalty taken off the table. But this is totally an acceptable death penalty case. And so if convicted, they should put him down like the animal he is. All right, folks, I want to get to something that I know is a little controversial. We'll get to that one in a little bit. Judge Jeanine Pirro is going through a little bit of a rough patch. And I want to make sure we have enough time for this because it's not looking too good for her right now. People are really angry with her about the Second Amendment and her lack of being able to defend it. But before we get there, let me turn to this article, actually. Todd Blanch, as many of you guys know, he is the deputy AG. Well, Todd Blanch, interesting enough, he's not doing a good job. Now, many of you guys pointed out he was a registered Democrat until 2024, but he was also President Trump's personal attorney, and so that probably is the reason why he landed in this position. Well, Todd Blanch, I've got a lot of criticisms of Todd Blanch's job, but there's specific ones that really do need to be highlighted. And this is just right now a report. We haven't seen an actual response to this report, but we're learning more. As many of you guys know, I did an exclusive report about Ed Martin, what's happened to Ed. But right now, there's an active effort to push Ed out of the out of the DOJ, even though the White House was the one who actually gave him the weaponization group leadership position. Now, according to the Gateway Pundit, they're claiming that Todd Blanch did not notify the White House about removing Ed Martin from that leadership position at the weaponization group, even though President Trump personally hired Martin for the job. Now, again, folks, this is the common theme here. We're watching as a lot of these things that are coming out, and these are specifically Todd Blanch's team. They're coming from Todd Blanch. False media reports are being placed in CNN constantly about Ed Martin. And if you're wondering why, it's coming from the people who are working around Todd Blanch. They are intentionally putting false information out there, trying to purge Ed Martin from the DOJ. That's what's going on right now. Now, Ed Martin's a fighter. He's not going anywhere anytime soon. But we have a real issue with Todd Blanch and the people working around him. That's the core part in all of this. So the Gateway Pundit releasing that detail regarding the White House not being up to date on that. But again, this is what they're doing. They're pushing out people that align with both what you and I believe. Alex has been doing a deep dive into this, and thank God Alex has been letting up on the Todd Blanch situation. Blanch is a problem. Blanch is a massive problem. And I continue to hear from DOJ sources that he is the one who is trying to get a lot of these people purged, but he's doing it through people he's just onboarded recently over these last few weeks. And so we're going to keep our eye on this because we're not letting up anytime soon. That's the reason why you're seeing him do this whole media push. That's why you're seeing him on Fox News a lot more frequently. That's why he's doing the Sunday shows now more frequently. He's trying to improve his public image. But he's going after a lot of the key players, and we're not going to allow it. We're going to call it out. All right, folks, buckle up. Matt Tardio joining us in just a few moments. A lot to talk about there in regards to the Chinese bio lab that was discovered in Las Vegas, plus that drone that was struck down. It was apparently an Iranian drone. We'll give you the latest on that as well in just a few moments.
One of the most important things to me in my life is to get things right and to tell the truth and to be accurate. That's why they say Alex Jones is right. But it's not just our news, our prediction, our information that are incredibly accurate. It's the products. And out of all the amazing supplements at thealexjonesstore.com, our methylene blue, ultra methylene blue, is the best you're going to find on the market. It's so good for your body. Instant, clean, amazing energy. You owe it to yourself, if you sat on the fence, to go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and get ultra methylene blue. And believe me, you are going to want to reorder it again. We have an 84% reorder on that product. No other supplement anywhere has anything even close. That is how amazing it is. Secure your ultra methylene blue now at thealexjonesstore.com. And thanks for keeping us on the air.
Repeat what you said is happening. You feel in the...
I feel like that stuff in my fingers. I feel tingling fingers.
There's the camera. Blast them with full power right there. Ah! Yeah!
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to The American Journal. Excited you're all jumping on board with us today. Second hour, time's flying. But we got a lot more content to dive into, stories to dive into. We're excited that you're all jumping on board with us today. Oh, it's been an interesting, very interesting couple of days. A lot of crazy news stories happening. I'll break down that Chinese biolab story that I tweeted about yesterday. There's more information that I'm learning, and there's a little bit of a correction that I'd make. So I'll give you the very latest on that. But I want to talk about what happened yesterday specifically with an Iranian drone. We're being told by both the Pentagon, it looks like, and the White House that there was a drone that was struck down, this coming from CENTCOM. And it's quite the interesting details that we're learning in regards to all of this, because I thought we were trying to work out a deal with the Iranians. So take a listen to clip 14.
Today, I did speak with folks over at the Pentagon this morning who said that CENTCOM acted both appropriately and necessarily to protect our U.S. personnel and equipment in the region. So CENTCOM did make the decision to shoot down that Iranian drone. It was unmanned. It was acting aggressively towards our USS Lincoln, which we know that aircraft carrier is in the region at the direction of President Trump. As for the president, he remains committed to always pursuing diplomacy first. But in order for diplomacy to work, of course, it takes two to tango. You need a willing partner to engage. And so that's something the president and Special Envoy Witkoff are exploring and discussing right now. Special Envoy Witkoff is set to have conversations with the Iranians later this week. Those are still scheduled as of right now. But of course, the president has always a range of options on the table, and that includes the use of military force. The Iranians know that better than anyone. Just look no further than the highly successful Operation Midnight Hammer, which took not just Iran, but the entire world by surprise and completely obliterated their nuclear capabilities earlier last year.
All right, joining me to discuss is Matt Tardio. He is a podcaster and obviously a veteran and a former law enforcement officer. So he's going to enlighten us on all things related to Iran right now. He's available on X, worth the follow. Anger tab is where you could find him at. Matt, thanks for being here. It's exciting to have you on, of course. And by the way, thank you for helping out. I was out for a couple of days last week, and so I appreciate you jumping on board and filling in and helping us patch up those 3 hours. So thank you, my friend. I appreciate that.
A pleasure.
Yes, it was. And our audience loves you, so this is good news. But I wanted to jump into this topic because this was a big one. You know, the Iranians, we're hearing that they're trying to work out a deal with the White House right now, but then we hear this drone story, and it's quite concerning coming from the Pentagon. What's the very latest on that?
Yeah, the drone story. So what they were talking about, it was a Shahed 139 drone. And this is not like your typical drone. A lot of times when people hear the Shahed drone, they think back to the Ukraine-Russian war, where Shaheds were made pretty dang famous because Russia's been sending them across the border. At one point in time, you had over 30% of the aerial munitions coming across the Russian border into Ukraine were these Shahed drones and others like them with components that were being supplied by Iran. But nonetheless, you know, the Shahed is really, it's a series of drones that's been put out by Iran. And the 139 can be a kind of, you know, likened to the U.S. Predator drone. It's decent at surveillance, but it's also got the ability to be armed. So this isn't just a surveillance drone. It also has, air-to-ground munition capabilities, which means, you know, it could have targeted that ship. So what the White House is saying is that, you know, that Shahed drone was going over, moving aggressively towards a ship. There was an F-35 crew that went over and engaged and shot the drone out of the sky. Iran came out and said that they are aware that this drone has disappeared off their radar, but they're still investigating whether or not the United States shot it down, because God forbid they admit that the United States has, you know, aircraft that they can't see, because that would scare the hell out of them.
Yeah, and that's the problem here, too. And I want to ask you, too, because we were reported on it yesterday. I did. I was talking about how Jared Kushner and Steve Witkoff are going to be the two going over there to try to talk with the Iranian officials to try to work out some type of peace agreement. We don't know how that's going to go, though. But, you know, I want to hear your take on, number one, Jared, obviously, Kushner being involved in all of this. He was someone who we were told during the campaign trail was no longer interested in being in the politics side of things. But here he is front and center. Do you expect the Iranians to try to come to the table with a peace agreement that's reasonable for both sides?
Well, I think the question is whether or not the Iranians come to the table with anything, but more so, regardless of what they come to the table with, can the U.S. trust them? Right. Because, right. And so when we look at this and we go, okay, well, what is Iran going to do moving forward? Even if they say they're not going to enrich uranium, which, by the way, you know, ever since the 12-day war, they've been saying that they are going to continue to enrich their uranium. They're going to continue on with their nuclear program. And, you know, Russia has been providing the scientists over into Iran to make that happen. Now, I guess the crazy part to me when I end up taking a look at this, if the U.S. does decide to go along with an agreement with them, you know, you're talking about having Russia take control of the uranium, or so I'm hearing, right? Like, and that's what we were kind of stalling out for the last time, was we had Russia and Ukraine that were going back and forth and we're trying to work out negotiations with them. But at the same time, we need Russia to go into Iran and secure the uranium and move it out. Mm-hmm. I look at that and I go, I don't know, Brianna, if I asked you, would you trust the victims of Jeffrey Epstein to be taken out of his control by Michael Jackson and locked in his basement? You know, I wouldn't. And so I'm not sure why we're going to trust Russia to go and pick up uranium. And I don't think we're going to do that. The last time we ended up bombing Iran back in June of last year, we ended up having negotiations that were scheduled within like a couple days, and we ended up dropping bombs anyways. And that really ticked Iran off. And I don't think that they have reason really to trust the United States either going into this. And the big concern really is the amount of U.S. troops that are over inside of the Middle East, because Iran has came out and said that they're going to kill, like undoubtedly, they will fire everything they have at U.S. troops that are over in the region. So you're talking, you know, somewhere in the vicinity of 40, 50,000 U.S. troops staged across the Middle East. Well, those troops need to have some overhead cover. We got to have, you know, surface-to-air munitions in order to take out any of those ballistic missiles that Iran's going to be shooting at our U.S. forces and our allies over in the region. And so the U.S. has been moving those things into the Middle East, right? And we're preparing for it. And part of that, you know, a lot of people don't even know this. You know, during the 12-day war, we had, you know, like fast movers, right? Like like fighter jets that were actually chasing down ballistic missiles that Iran was shooting and dropping them out of the sky, right? So we had our own aircraft just speeding after these suckers and shooting them down. The footage is actually really cool to see. Same thing with a lot of the drones, you know? It's not how good our aerial defense assets are, it's how many ballistic missiles Iran has. You know, their goal is just going to be to overwhelm our systems, right? Eventually they end up getting depleted and you have to reload those things, and it creates a window. So if they can shoot enough to overload our system, then they're going to have this window where they can, you know, attack our troops. So we've got to make sure everything's covered. And I know it's ticking the Iranians off because they're getting killed, you know, left and right now. And Trump last month, he ended up coming out stating that we're locked and loaded, we're ready to go, don't worry about it, help's on the way. And the diaspora is pissed. You know, they're sitting there going, where is the United States? Why aren't they doing anything yet? They're having a revolution inside their country, and they want the United States to go in. They want the United States to do something. And at the same time, you got to understand that the loyalty of the president of the United States of America is to the United States of America first. I do believe that it is an American first agenda in order to remove the Ayatollah, in order to support that revolution and get rid of them, because of the chaos, terror, support for China, support for Russia, you know, that they're causing around the world. Russia and China, 1,000% are going after the United States dollar, trying to collapse us economically. And, you know, the Iranian regime is a big part of propping that up. I think all of this is just, you know, we're looking for different excuses in order to make it happen, but it's going to happen. I don't think for one minute the United States has any interest in trusting a word out of the Ayatollah's mouth or any official that comes out of Iran. And even then, you have to ask yourself the question, okay, so they're going to obey Trump, you know, in the next year to 2 years. But what happens once Trump gets out of office and we get some a weak leader in office, right? Like, what's going to happen then? We get some granola eating Democrat in there that you know, is just filled with soy, that doesn't want to freaking attack Iran, and they're busy building nuclear weapons. You know, does that make America any safer? Does that make our allies any safer? And the answer to that is no.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the issue here. And I think, and I kind of want you to explain it a little bit. When it comes to how the U.S. could assist Iran, Americans, I don't think, would support, obviously, there being an actual on-the-ground intervention with American lives being there present. How can the U.S. assist them from more of a remote position, I guess I'd say? Is there a way to do just that?
Yeah. So when you look at having this entire government being overthrown, it's not as simple as people would like to say. It's ultimately going to, you know, end up in the hands of the Iranian people, whether or not that actually happens. How the U.S. can assist is going to be going back years from today, right? And everybody knows Mossad is over inside of Iran, but I have no doubt that, you know, the agencies over there as well. They likely have been working with different factions over inside of the country, supplying them with arms, munitions, funding, et cetera, coordination. For the upcoming strikes. You know, if the, what we're actually talking about is the U.S. supporting a revolution here, which it certainly looks like it. So it's coordination with those folks on the ground. And you're never going to have, you know, a successful overthrow of a government, especially one like Iran, without the support of the military. And so if it is successful, right, like if that's what we're moving towards, some of the first things that we should see following these U.S. strikes after maybe a day or 2 days is we should see members of the Iranian military, like entire units that are standing up and going over to fight against the IRGC. There's a problem. You know, the IRGC controls all of the weapons. And so you've got to, you've actually got to make these weapons get issued out. And there's lots of other things that have to go into it. But ultimately, that is how we would end up doing that. So overwhelming fire superiority from the United States government, knocking out communications, taking out key leadership, and potentially supporting some of these units that are on the ground moving towards, you know, some of the IRGC forces.
Yeah, well, we'll see how that all plays out. I'm looking forward to the meeting that's going to be taking place very soon between obviously Jared Kushner, like I detailed, and Steve Witkoff. So we'll see how that goes. But I wanted to ask you as well, Matt, about the Chinese lab that was uncovered in Vegas. Now, this isn't anything new. This is something that I know a lot of people have been talking about since 2023 because there was one that was uncovered, I believe, in California. And here's the correction part. So I put in a tweet that there was Ebola found at that lab in Vegas. It turns out that that wasn't found in Vegas. It was actually found in California. But the owner of the labs, the person whose name is on it, is a Chinese national, and he's connected to both of them. But I'm going to let Matt, because you've been following this story, I'm going to let Matt detail for our audience specifically what was uncovered in that Vegas one and how it's connected to the California one as well. So take it away, Matt.
I don't know. How much fear do you want me to spark into your viewers today over this lab?
This is InfoWars. We can handle it all. We handle the truth.
Yeah, right. Oh, gosh. Okay, so you're right. They're both connected by the same owner, right? And this was something that was known back in 2022 going into 2023. The first person to report it that I was able to find is a gentleman by the name of Tony Saruga, if I pronounce his name correctly, over on X. He's got a very large account, and he ended up claiming that he's the one that ended up tipping them off. And after that lab over inside of California got raided, they ended up pulling out lots of vials of all sorts of different stuff. But the other thing that they ended up finding was a bunch of paperwork, and they ended up, you know, tracking down this owner who, by the way, the owner of this lab was also a wanted fugitive from Canada, for a lot of different things. I think he had like a $300 million judgment or something. It is insane. So how he got in the United States is my first question. Anyways, so they were aware that they had this illegal lab going on over inside of California with all sorts of crazy stuff. And the vast majority of the mice inside of that lab were dead. And local news sources try to cover it up and state that it was just, you know, the CDC or whoever killing off these freaking rats to make sure that, you know, nothing ended up making its way out. Nope, not true. When they went in there, a bunch of them were already dead. The problem for me is that in 2022, going into 2023, they knew the connection to this lab over inside of Las Vegas. Lab in Las Vegas is reportedly being ran out of an Airbnb. They had a like shed in the backyard that ended up having all of the, you know, unknown vials worth of stuff in it. People were reporting it to be smelling like a hospital, but not a clean hospital, like a dirty, nasty hospital, right? And that is the tip that Las Vegas Metro PD started working off of about a week before the raid in order to get their way in there. So the question is, if we were aware of this location, we were aware of an illegal lab in California, why weren't we taking care of the one in Vegas? Why weren't we investigating that? Why weren't we looking into that? Probably the most troubling part is Tony claims that there is paperwork that got pulled out of the California lab that would suggest that there is probably about 500 of these scattered across the country. the scariest part for me is when we look at this and we go, okay, COVID-19, we now know that that ended up originating out of the lab in Wuhan. And it was pretty strategically timed, in my opinion, for when that ended up happening. But we look at what's going on in the world right now, and we're talking about, you know, taking out Iran, and everybody's worried about illegal aliens, complaining about the illegal aliens inside of the United States of America. Well, what people aren't paying attention to is China. And China, you know, I likened it yesterday to, you know, the U.S. coming up with stealth aircraft back in, what was it, the late 70s, early 80s when we came out with them. First time it ended up seeing conflict, our first stealth fighter. First time it saw conflict was in Panama. We dropped two bombs over inside Panama. People were judging the accuracy of it. And then we ended up taking it over into the Gulf War, where it saw a lot of combat. And it kind of changed the theory of warfare because, you know, for the longest times, the Russians had, you know, set up radar. They had, and you know, based off of, you know, all sorts of other technology. But figuring out how to penetrate that radar, figuring out how to penetrate those aerial defense assets was kind of a huge deal. So when we came up with a stealth fighter, it scared the crap out of Russia. Well, you know, if you are China and you want to start taking, I don't know, say Taiwan, or you want to start taking over the world, or you want to thrust the U.S. deeper into debt, you don't have to worry about attacking the United States directly anymore because we have a wide open border and we have some of the worst policies ever. A congressman went over and he was complaining the other day up in Congress. We don't even have a federal agency to track these bio labs. And the scariest part about it is it's in Las Vegas. And they ended up busting this thing after SHOT Show. And at the same time that SHOT Show was going on, and SHOT Show, by the way, has around 50,000 attendees that end up showing up to it from all 50 states and over 100 plus countries from around the world. And at the same time, you also have, I don't even remember what it's called. It's the porn awards, right? For all the porn stars in the adult entertainment industry, they have their awards and they treat it as kind of like a cover story for one another. So people can go, oh, I'm going to SHOT Show. And they really go to the AVN. And instead of going, you know, it's sad. But that's another 50,000 traveling from all around the world. And so you have an Airbnb, number one, which is a great location in order to pick up and spread diseases to all sorts of different people. And you have it taking place over inside of Las Vegas. And if what Tony suggested is correct, which is there's 500 of these suckers scattered around the United States of America. And I did see yesterday that they found several more companies that were registered under this individual in the Vegas area. Well, if they ended up finding that, how many of these things exist and how many people potentially could have been infected, right? The World Health Organization put out a warning for a new flu that's making its way around, and it's extremely deadly over inside Asia right now. So yeah, I'm kind of scared that there's another pandemic coming up. And the moral of the story is Russia, China, they don't need to attack us militarily. Like, it's all great and dandy that we're putting a golden dome up over inside of Greenland, but we're not taking care of the problems in our backyard, these Chinese biolabs.
Yeah. No, that's a big problem. And I don't think people realize how bad it is. I mean, I remember, I believe it was last year, they announced that they had raided a CCP police station and they had shut it down that was operating in New York City. But it was operating openly. I mean, we all saw it. This wasn't like a big secret, although the FBI claimed it was secretive. It wasn't secretive. So we have Chinese coming here. We had the Chinese coming here, opening up shop all across our country, and there's very little that's being done. And it's not just that, too. There's a lot of Chinese nationals that are buying up land and then giving it off to Islamists so that they could build mosques and other things. And it's a major, major issue here, Matt. But, like, we're talking about an Airbnb. Like, how does the government even step in on this? I mean, they utilize an Airbnb. We don't know who owns that Airbnb. Obviously, Airbnb is going to claim that they don't have any affiliation with it. It's just an individual who was using their services and probably just rented one of their properties out. But how do we shut it down when people are utilizing all these LLCs that are sketchy, buying up land all across the country? And if they're not doing that, then they're using Airbnb to set up these labs. How do we prevent all of this?
I think it starts with enforcing the immigration policy, right? Mm-hmm. And looking into that, it starts with making sure that these people aren't getting identification here in the United States of America. They're not getting real IDs in states like California when they have absolutely zero documentation. We shouldn't be having people come to this country with those. And then, furthermore, they definitely shouldn't be opening up businesses underneath, you know, fictitious identities that they've built behind these real IDs registered in these other states. Those are all very serious national security concerns. You know, the Democrats are trying to paint this as if it is some sort of, you know, a human rights issue, when in fact it's a national security issue. You know, they are very quick to complain when you have families that are being separated in the United States of America. But God forbid we put the onus on those families for coming here and doing that in the first place. They're very quick to complain, you know, when people are assaulted here in the United States of America sexually, but they 100% support open borders. They don't bring up the fact that 80% of the women that are trafficked across the southern border in the United States are sexually assaulted. If you are not for sexual assault, why the hell are you for illegal immigration coming and pouring across our borders or open borders? And even if the United States opened up our borders and said, you know what, everybody feel free to come across, the cartel's still going to control the crossing, and they're still going to rape 80% of these women. They're still going to funnel them into human trafficking. You know, I couldn't tell you how many dirty, like, businessmen probably go into these, like, different massage parlors and things like that here in the United States. Mm-hmm. And do their business inside of there. And I want you to think, you know, those people are in actual slavery, right? And all of that's just pouring across our southern border. And these people are supporting it. They're enforcing it. And if anything, they're opening up the doors by having these sanctuary cities and these sanctuary states like California, to where they say, no, you come here, we'll take care of you. You know, they have people that meet up with these, and I call them victims for crying out loud. They meet up with these victims that are coming into this country, and they let them know, don't worry, you're safe here. And then we have, you know, cities like Chicago that are giving, you know, thousands upon thousands of dollars in aid for these illegals that are pouring into their city while they're not even taking care of their own people that are in the city. So they're creating incentives for these people to come to the United States of America. They get put in human trafficking, and then they just get, you know, just wrecked, completely and totally wrecked. And then they use it to push their own political agenda. Meanwhile, the enemies of the United States of America are using these things, and they're exploiting it. They're absolutely exploiting it, setting up these bio labs. And by the way, not just setting up bio labs, but also spying on the United States of America, spying on our military installations, and sowing discourse in the American population. So we need to solve this problem, and it needs to solve fast. It is a national security matter, and it needs taken care of.
Yeah. No, it does need to be taken care of. This needs to be the top priority. It's really frustrating that we're not seeing much on that front. I know, though, that the FBI did make it a top priority to go after a lot of these Chinese nationals that are here in the country. Those sources in the FBI did say that they do deem this as a top priority for the agency. So we'll see how that unravels, of course. You never know what you're going to get. And by that, I mean lack of action usually is what you get. Matt, thank you for joining.
Life is like a box of chocolates.
It's true. Matt, thank you for joining us. You do a great job as always, and we appreciate your insight on all of these matters. Folks, give him a follow if you can on X. At Anger Tab is where you can find him. Matt Tardio, thank you for joining us.
Thanks again.
All right, folks, buckle up. We got more to discuss in just a little bit. I'll be diving into a couple of stories I want to make sure you guys know about, because the mainstream media is too weak to actually cover these stories. They're afraid. They're afraid, but we're not afraid here. So we'll talk about that. A little bit about election fraud, too, because there's one brave senator who's popping up who's saying, no. The voting machines need to go. And he also is saying that some of his actual colleagues weren't elected to their positions by the American people. They were elected by the voting machines. His allegations, not mine. We'll talk about that in a little bit. In the meantime, though, head on over to the alexjonesstore.com, because we just launched a brand new item that I know you guys are all going to love. Everyone needs to do this. You need to drink your electrolytes. And right now, over at the alexjonesstore.com, we just launched the hydration mix, the optimal human hydration electrolyte drink mix. These are incredible. They're so good. You should start off your day every morning by getting your electrolytes, and you can. It's at a reasonable price right now over at the shop. We just launched that a few moments ago, so you got to stop what you're doing right now. Head on over to the alexjonesstore.com and make sure you snag some of these. You're going to really want to try that strawberry lemonade. It is incredible. Head on over to the alexjonesstore.com. Electrolytes is what every American needs, and you need to start your day every day with just that. And do that with you over at the alexjonesstore.com.
There's a popular online meme, Alex Jones was right. Well, I'm not always right, but I'm right about 98% of the time, and I strive to be right. And not just with the news and information we cover and my predictions, but with the products we bring you. And all the products at thealexjonesstore.com are amazing. But the most powerful, the one that 99% of people have basically instant results with, I bet like 3 people out of 500 I've given to that didn't feel anything, is our Ultra Methylene Blue, made in Florida and 10 times stronger. Incredible energy. 99% of people within 30 minutes feel the energy, no letdown, and it's so good for your cells. Again, it would take hours to get into all the things it does for your body. Ladies and gentlemen, it's available right now, back in stock. get yours, and it keeps this broadcast and what we do on the air, so it's a 360 win. If you don't get our ultramethylene blue, you're really missing out, and it really is better than any methylene blue I've ever taken. Believe me, you're missing out if you don't go to thealexjonesstore.com and get our ultramethylene blue. It is simply insane.
You were just telling me that you had a brain disease, and you, what did you do to fix it?
I found this guy's a functional medicine guy, and he got me on methylene blue, and that instantly stopped everything.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic. And so this guy's injecting in 1890, injects these rats with it, and then does an autopsy on these things, and their brain, the brainstem, every single nerve is blue. So he discovered this methylene blue has an affinity for neuronal tissue. So he says, well, it's sucking into neurons and working in the body. So we started putting it in humans, and we found out it's an MAOI, which helps with depression and anxiety and all kinds of life stress and stuff. It is so incredible that it acts as an electron donor to mitochondria, especially your neuronal mitochondria. So it helps you produce more ATP, and it helps you get rid of this stuff called reactive oxygen species. So you have an oxygen molecule that should have two hydrogens on it. And like your body's job is to convert stuff into water so you can pee it out. So if you get an oxygen molecule, it's got 4, 5, 1, it's a reactive oxygen, which we call free radicals. So methylene blue goes in there and balances a lot of those things out in your brain and your nervous system. So it is a miracle, and it's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there.
The strongest medical-grade methylene blue, and this is what I'm on. Total mitochondria cleaning, next-level energy. This is amazing. And you want to know what I'm on? Iris CMOS Shilajit. This right here, look at that. That is power. I'm on intermittent fasting. I'm 8 to 3 o'clock today. And I stopped eating crap food. Stop drinking. That's what I'm on right there, baby.
Ladies and gentlemen, you know the power of turmeric, but have you felt it? Have you tried the ultimate turmeric gummies? The delicious way to harness the ancient power of golden turmeric, supercharged with ginger root and black pepper for maximum impact. Each gummy delivers 125 milligrams of premium turmeric extract packed with curcumin, the clinically studied compound shown to support healthy inflammation response, ease everyday aches, and promote joint comfort so you can move through life with ease. We added real ginger root, trusted for centuries to calm digestion and soothe the stomach, plus a precise dose of black pepper extract with pepperine, proven to boost curcumin absorption by up to 2,000%. That means more of the good stuff actually gets where your body needs it. No capsules, no bitter aftertaste, just one tasty tropical-flavored gummy a day, or two if you're feeling extra, to help you feel lighter, looser, and more energized. Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, ancient wisdom meets modern science in the best-tasting form possible. Grab yours today and start feeling the ultimate difference in health with Ultimate Turmeric Gummies. Inflammation doesn't stand a chance. Get yours today at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal Work Study. You're all jumping on with us today. It's a good day for those in the independent journalism world. It's a good day for people who stick up for basics like the facts while saying that they're journalists. It's not a good day, though, if you're an employee at the Washington Post. Today's not a good day at all for you because WAPO is doing a massive round of layoffs. It's true. They are. I reported a little bit on my X page that we kind of figured they were going to be doing some layoffs, but the Washington Post has just begun tossing out about 300 so-called journalists. The layoffs are slated to shrink the newsroom by hundreds of journalists, cutting into the Post's local, international, and sports coverage. Oh, what a tragedy. The layoffs were also announced during a Zoom call, it looks like, today, and that was kind of the speculation going on earlier this morning that I had posted about. But it looks like it's official. The Washington Post has made these massive amounts of layoffs, cutting one-third of its total staff. And sucks to suck, some would say. Interesting enough to, I mean, it's worth noting, I guess. The Washington Post Guild is out here saying that these layoffs are not inevitable. The newsroom cannot be hollowed out without consequences for its credibility. You're probably a little too late. Credibility was shot down a while ago. See, that's what happens when you get involved in politics. You endorse bad politicians. Nobody wants to pay attention to your outlet anymore. This is what it looks like when you lose the trust of the American people. Massive layoffs, massive layoffs. So best of luck to them. See, this is the problem, right? When you are an independent journalist, when you are working for a corporate media outlet, you got to run on your credibility, right? And your credibility is, do the American people trust you? And if your background is that you work for the Washington Post, well, chances are the American people don't trust you. You know, in fact, we were talking about a story and we were pitching on like people to have on. And I joked because one person who's now independent has like a resume that just reads New York Times, Washington Post, like all these corporate media outlets. I'm like, yeah, we can't get them on. To me, that's, for those in the corporate media world, that's a sign of they deem credibility. For me, I look at that and I say, well, you're a propagandist. Can't have you on. Probably work hand from your job too. So good luck to all of those at the Washington Post who are going to find out that they're out of a job now. Best of luck. It sucks, but it sucks to suck. All right, let's turn the page a little bit. I'll be a little nicer. Oh, no, never mind. We'll stop that. We'll stop it. I want to talk about this one. This one's a little infuriating. I know a lot of you guys were fired up, but I was kind of waiting to see more information on this before I had a take on it. But the D.C. U.S. attorney, which is Jeanine Pirro, as many of you guys know, she was the former Fox host. You like her because she's tough on crime, is what she says. But then there's comments like this that are made that just really have me scratching my head. I want you to listen to what the judge said. Again, she's a D.C. U.S. attorney, but I still call her judge. In clip four, she's talking about those law-abiding gun owners who dare to bring their firearms to D.C. Now, again, I understand that they think that they have restrictions in D.C. on firearms, but I'll talk about it in a second. But the Second Amendment is the Second Amendment. Take a listen to clip four.
Bring a gun into the district, you mark my words, you're going to jail. I don't care if you have a license in another district, and I don't care if you're a law-abiding gun owner somewhere else. You bring a gun into this district, count on going to jail, and hope you get the gun back.
That's not going to go well. What was she thinking? What was she fired up on? Not going to go well. It's not going to go well. See, this is the thing with the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment doesn't just stop because you cross state lines. The Second Amendment covers all Americans across the country. And so to sit here and to pretend like your little gun laws, your little restrictions, are what should stop the Second Amendment, no, that's not how this works. And she knows that. She knows that. She has since apologized, and we'll get to her apology in a second, but obviously that created quite the firestorm. And I'm proud for people speaking out. People like Governor Ron DeSantis. You know, he's out here just condemning what she said. American gun owners who conceal are among the most law-abiding citizens in the nation. They are friends of law enforcement. Again, that's a great point to make. Yes, they are. Ron DeSantis also adding, they should not be targeted by law enforcement. Now, obviously, Ron DeSantis gets it. And I truly still do believe that he's probably one of our best hopes at this point. You could have your criticism for him, but he does pull on a lot of key issues in the right direction, in my opinion, this one being one of them. So obviously the DC attorney, she's not, she got a lot of pushback for those comments. And again, it's not even taken out of context because she's well aware and she says it right there. She doesn't care if you have a license in another state. If you bring it to DC, she is going to go after you and you're going to hope that you get your gun back. It's quite the bizarre claim to make. I don't know why she was talking like that, especially given the fact that she's supposed to be a conservative. But at clip five, she is trying to backtrack on those comments that she made, and she's trying to make sure these gun right groups don't go after her. Take a listen.
Good morning, everyone. I'm here in the office, and some people are concerned about something I said yesterday, so I want to be crystal clear. I am a proud supporter of the Second Amendment. I have guns myself. Long guns, handguns, and I'm a proud high-heeled gun owner. In fact, I even keynoted an NRA convention. However, you need to be responsible. And every responsible gun owner that I know makes sure that they understand the laws, where they are going, and understand whatever registration requirements there might be. President Trump's goal here, and my goal as well, is to make sure we take guns out of the hands of criminals. There is a reason that we have the lowest homicide rate in recorded history. We're taking guns off the street, illegal guns, in the hands of criminals who want to use those guns to victimize law-abiding citizens. There's a big difference here. You're responsible. You follow the laws. You're not going to have a problem with me.
Okay, so she's actually not backtracking. She actually... it's just highlighting her own stupidity there, and she's trying to laminate it. I mean, and the reality of it is you want to sit here and you want to cite that you want to take the guns out of the hands of criminals. Law-abiding citizens are using their firearms to protect themselves, because we've all seen what's happened in D.C., so there's no reason why they should not be able to carry. Again, she's not understanding the point here. What deters crime? Well, once criminals realize that you're going to fight back, they think twice. They think twice. And so for her to sit here and to pretend like we have to abide by whatever restrictions D.C. decided to impose is absurd. The Second Amendment is the Second Amendment. It doesn't have an exemption for D.C. You are allowed to carry. You're allowed to protect yourselves. You're allowed to protect your loved ones. And I hope all these gun right groups go after her. I truly do. To make those comments is absurd. Absurd. Do I like how she's treated criminals? Yeah. But guess what? Guess what? If people want to come into your home, people want to break into your home, you know what's going to stop them? Not a phone call to police and hope that they arrive within a reasonable time period. What's going to stop them is your firearm. These thugs are running rampant. And oh, look, another one. Those who legally obtain firearms aren't the problem here. And again, she's not toning down on that rhetoric. She is intentionally going out there and telling you, regardless of where you might be able to carry, you can't do it in D.C. You can't do it in D.C. I wonder if she carries. She probably does. You'd actually have to be a fool not to carry in D.C., especially if you work there, especially if you work within the Trump administration. See, this is the problem. This is the problem. So it's really discouraging to hear a member of the administration talk like that. You have a right to protect yourself. The Second Amendment doesn't stop once you cross over into D.C. It's an absolute wasteland, and I'm not going to sit here and rely on local PD to protect me. When it comes to my own protection, I take that seriously, and I actually do want to protect myself. I'm not going to sit here and wait for maybe a DEI-hired law enforcement officer to hopefully save me. No, no, no. We're fighting back, and we've had enough. It's a shame that the judge doesn't see through that. It's a shame that she doesn't understand the Second Amendment. She keeps saying the same thing over and over again. Now, you have a right to defend yourself, and the Second Amendment doesn't stop because you cross into D.C., because you cross into a state. We should be able to carry wherever we want. This is the United States. We have a Second Amendment right. So it's good to see that everyone's going after for those comments, because they need to be condemned. They need to be condemned. I want to talk a little bit about election fraud, because there's some accusations. Again, these are accusations that are being made by a senator. Senator I like a lot, of course, though. Senator Tommy Tuberville's out here, and he's calling out the voting machines. Now, again, he's not specifically naming what companies these allegations he's about to make are directed at. And again, these are just accusations. These are not anything that has been proven to be factually true in a courtroom because, well, unfortunately, we've got a major issue here where we can't talk about election fraud. A lot of courts just don't even want to entertain the arguments. Now, I know there's a problem with the voting machines. And how do I know that? Well, there's actually a convention in Vegas where they actually have hackers try to hack into the machines so that the companies of these voting machines could figure out specifically where their vulnerabilities are. I know, I've seen it. I've spoken to those who have attended. And so I know that there are these vulnerabilities. We're talking DEF CON. You guys are great. I'm trying to remember the name. It's DEF CON. So my friend who went here told me, he's like, you don't bring your cell phone. They'll hack your phone if you're near them. But they go around and they try to figure out, how can we hack into these voting machines? And the companies know. They're just trying to figure out, how are their machines vulnerable? And then once they're able to successfully do just that, they turn over that information to the companies. and we're told they try to fix it. So there are problems. They just won't tell you that in a courtroom. Now, again, can't say that about certain companies, so I'll keep that quite vague. But Senator Tommy Tuberville's out here, and he is making quite the interesting accusation in regards to who's electing a lot of these U.S. senators. Take a listen to Clippy.
And then, of course, President Trump wants same-day voting, mail ballots, get rid of these voting machines. There's a half a dozen people, whether it's the House or Senate, Larry, that are up here as we speak, that did not get elected. It was all bogus because we've seen the evidence. And if we don't straighten that out, you're going to see a lot more of it this fall. And it's just going to get worse and worse with the American people saying, listen, we got all y'all up there and you don't do anything to straighten it out. We want closed borders and we want fair elections. Those two things they are demanding. And as Republicans, we had better to listen to them and do that or we're going to lose next fall.
Yeah, that's very likely. That's very likely. And the reality of it is it's quite impressive that the senator is making those claims that there are people right now in D.C. who have not been elected, although we've never actually seen a specific list of names of people who he might deem as individuals who may have stolen an election. I do want to hear more. I do want to hear more on that. So I look forward to reaching out to Senator Tuberville's office to see if there are specific senators that he has some level of information on that may have not actually gone elected. Maybe the election machines voted for them. But when it comes to the voice of reason, I want to also highlight this. This will give you a little bit of hope. There's a new CNN poll out there that shows how many Americans are on board when it comes to voter ID. And the number is actually quite impressive. Take a listen to clip 9.
Take a look here. Favorite photo ID to vote. 85% of white people favorite. 82% of Latino. 76% of black Americans favorite. So the bottom line is this. Voter ID is not controversial in this country. A photo ID to vote is not controversial in this country. It is not controversial by party, and it is not controversial by race. The vast majority of Americans agree with Nicki Minaj that, in fact, you should have a photo ID to be able to vote.
Yeah, you should. It's kind of common sense. And the fact that they deem it as something that's racist tells you everything you need to know about all of this. Listen, most Americans get it. They need an ID. They have an ID, and they have no problem showing their ID. Just a matter of, well, are we going to pass this or not? See, there are key people who are trying to steal your elections who don't want you getting that. They just don't want it happening. And I think it's really quite interesting when you kind of walk through it and you realize these people are all frauds. These people are all frauds. I want to play clip 11 for you. Zohran Mahdani, obviously, he's the guy who's mayor of New York City. And I roll my eyes when I said that just because this didn't have to happen. But unfortunately, we have individuals who did not want to act. And now Zohran Mahdani is now New York City mayor. There was an officer-involved shooting that took place just the other day. And it has to do with the man who's armed with a knife. But here's the thing, right? We're going to see the body cam footage, but we're also going to hear first from Zohran Mahdani, who is openly admitting to going and visiting the individual who was shot by police because he allegedly had a knife and he was running towards police officers with that knife. Now, this all started after there was a 911 call made by an individual, this individual's parents. And apparently he was not doing well. They called in and said that he was in emotional distress and needed medical attention. Take a listen to Zohran Mahdani detail it and then watch the actual body cam footage to see what this individual allegedly did. Take a look.
And as you said, I spoke with the Chakraborty family and I visited Chavez in the hospital. And there is no family should have to endure this kind of pain.
Baba, Baba, no!
Hey, put the knife down! 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 Move! 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 Put the knife down! Put the knife down! Put the knife down!
So as you see there, he's being instructed to put the knife down. Put the knife down. Won't put the knife down, though. It then goes on to run towards law enforcement. You know what that is? Most people who get it, right? That's suicide by cop. I mean, the reality of it is you don't run towards law enforcement officers with a weapon and then hope that they what? Coddle you? See, this is what he's trying to do. He's trying to use this as a divisive pull because Zohran Mahdani doesn't want law enforcement officers to appear at the scene. What would you rather when an individual is chasing and running after law enforcement? You want a social worker? What social worker is going to want to appear on the scene with an individual who's going to try to stab them? Yeah, he has mental health issues. It's quite obvious. His family is the reason why the police are there in the first place because they're worried for their own safety, obviously, and for his. But folks, we have a mental health crisis in this country, and those at the top, and specifically Democrats, aren't trying to actually work our way through it. Instead, you see Zimmer and Madani trying to demonize law enforcement. So we have an individual who's literally running towards police with a weapon, who's being instructed, and the officer literally shuts the door to give him some type of buffer. And that's still not enough. He's going after the officer. It is quite clear. Now, that is a good shoot, because it is quite obvious what's happening here. But the fact that the New York City mayor is visiting the person who is responsible for allegedly trying to go after law enforcement and stab them, that's insane. That's insane. Zohran Mamdani is just a communist piece of you-know-what. And it is quite insane to go there and visit the person who was trying to kill an NYPD officer just a few hours ago. Why? Well, because it drums up his narrative. He doesn't want law enforcement there. Find me a social worker that wants to go to the scene of an individual with a knife who's looking to stab them. Find me one social worker. No one. No one would go there. You couldn't pay anyone top dollar to appear at a scene like that. But this is what they do, these Marxists. They want to sit here. They want to push this nonsense on the rest of you. And they're hoping you're dumb enough to believe their lie. Dumb enough to believe their lie. James O'Keefe just released a new video, and I want to play it for you here. This is an individual who claims to work within the FBI's security department, I believe it is. And he claims to have knowledge, and we'll get into his background in a second, because I've actually asked a couple of my FBI sources about this to see what his role is specifically over at the FBI. But he makes a lot of claims against the FBI director, and it's not making FBI Director Cash Patel look very good. Take a listen to clip 10.
He's like a diva. Is that
110%? He's a diva.
Are you serious?
110%. He's lazy. No, he's not good at his job.
I've said that if arrests do not happen, if people are not held to account, then we'll have no choice but to investigate the investigators themselves.
I am a security specialist at the FBI, so I do background checks, investigations, that type of stuff. I've been working there for 5 years now.
On hidden camera, this FBI security specialist tells us the quiet part out loud.
So you don't think there's going to be any, like, major arrests, like with Cash Patel or
No. Also, I don't think anybody would ever go to prison.
Now, thanks to the brave work of citizen journalists like Nick Shirley, Americans were able to see what actually happens in Minnesota outside these daycare centers.
Do you think they're going to arrest the people, like, that are dealing with the daycare stuff?
I think by the time that case is done, even being, like, looked at, being ready to go to court, Trump won't even be in office anymore. Like, they would most likely be thrown out very quickly. Fraud cases like that, like money stuff?
Yeah.
Years, literal years of time. They're going to try and pin it on somebody.
I think you're a badass.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Ah, man. It's the story of a man who's obviously trying to sleep with a woman, and it looks like he might have been very misleading. According to those in the FBI who have formerly worked for the FBI, I should say, they tell me that this individual would have no idea about the internal investigations. He might also be kind of glorifying his position, but he's more of like an assistant to those within the agency, so he wouldn't have access to this information. I think it's important, though, that this is clearly highlighting, and it's an important report, it's clearly highlighting the mentality of those within the agency, how they just don't have any respect for the director. I mean, that's quite apparent. The fact that it very quickly is able to sit there and say, no, 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 you're not going to see any arrest. You're not going to see anything. I mean, maybe that's the internal kind of mood over at the FBI. Now, interesting enough, the FBI has responded to James O'Keefe's report saying this individual does not speak for the FBI and does not have a firsthand knowledge of the matters discussed in this article. And obviously, they are reviewing the material, but most importantly, I was scrolling through X yesterday and James did have an update on that. It looks like the individual has been walked off the scene and might no longer be employed by the FBI. And again, his position is security specialist. I'm told specifically that that is not a high up position that would have him privy to this type of information. So whether or not he has access to it, just I think highlights the fact that those at the FBI do not respect the FBI director. And that is a common theme that I'm hearing these days. All right, folks, let's get a little bit of a lighter mood on. I want to get to this point. In clip 7, you're going to listen to a group of individuals in Minnesota who are talking about ICE and why they dispute what ICE is currently doing in Minnesota. It's more of a laughable clip. Take a listen to clip 7.
I was angry, upset, because this could have happened to me. I would have done the exact same thing. I'm a nurse. I help people. If I see someone that needs help, I'm going to help them.
Catherine Che was one of about 100 healthcare workers who all felt the same pain, sorrow, and anger at the deadly shooting of Alex Preti. Krista Reimel, a registered nurse and founder of the We Care Nonprofit Foundation, organized this vigil for Alex's peers at the Orchestra Hall in downtown Minneapolis.
I was at the Capitol last week with about 75 physician leaders, and they said the moral injury they're feeling right now at this moment is more intense than they felt during the pandemic.
What? What? I think that just highlights the fact that the pandemic was what we always accused it of being, and that was fake. 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 Imagine looking at Alex Preti and being like, oh, that was worse than the pandemic. You're a nurse. Aren't you so overwhelmed with patients dying in your waiting rooms that you were just, remember those dancing videos that they used to make? Maybe that's what she's alluding to. Maybe that's what they're, you guys are so quick with this. I would probably say if you're a nurse working at a hospital, this shouldn't be worse than the pandemic if you were telling us the truth. No surprise there, though, folks. These people are just so they have no sense of reality. They have no sense of reality. The fact that we have nurses going out there and making those ridiculous comments tells you everything you know about the healthcare industry these days. Alex Preti, that this is their golden child. Their golden child. A man who was obviously going out there the days before his shooting. Was getting very violent with law enforcement. We saw a video of him kicking a car, which apparently had federal agents in it. So again, these aren't outstanding citizens. These aren't the best of the best. They like to make them seem like they are. But again, that's propaganda that you guys are seeing. All right. I want to tell you guys all about the brand new product we have featured right now over at thealexjonesstore.com. I was talking about it earlier today. If you're someone who's not getting your electrolytes in, you got to do that every day. Start your day off with taking a nice sipperoo, I guess it's sipperoo, of our brand new products. We've got the Ultimate Human Hydration, the electrolyte drink mix that has just now officially launched and includes French sea salt. We have two incredible flavors that we just launched right now over at thealexjonesstore.com. So you got to head on over there. And again, we just launched this less than an hour ago over at the shop. We have strawberry lemon and we have lemon lime. Now, these are two incredible flavors and the prices are actually quite amazing right now. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com and make sure you subscribe, because when you do, you also get a free hydration bottle as well. That's their gift that they're giving you right now when you do just that, when you sign up for their replenishment monthly program. And it's a price that you're not going to see anywhere else, better than the supermarket. So head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com and support us by supporting your personal health.
People can use this as a teaching moment that, you know, I see a lot of these people out there who think they can imitate Alex Jones, and they have never understood the amount of work that goes in to the detailed reports that you do. But the second part is, okay, if you're out there and you want to be Alex Jones or replicate Alex Jones, Alex teaches you the way to do it, just pay attention. One is learn history. Understand what templates to look for. Once you understand that, you understand what the play is going to look like. And then you're just looking for who to cast in what roles, because you understand the broader course of history, how these things tend to operate, how assassinations tend to occur, how cover-ups tend to happen, how false flags occur, how staged events occur, how also could the various forms of COINTELPRO type psyops to infiltrate dissident movements to distract them from the real conspiracy into fake conspiracy in order to feed a fake conspiracies into people who otherwise would be investigating the real conspiracy. Also to act as a discrediting agent. So learn the methodologies, learn how to look at how to review sources, how to understand the psychology of the participants involved. Once you understand that, you can be much more accurate and predictive at what took place with more explanatory power and more predictive capacity. And that's what Alex does, is massive amounts of work that starts with understanding history.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing, and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster. Every crisis is an opportunity, and the world will be reshaped in our vision. Down with the globalists. Get ultra methylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.